From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. A cyber attack 2 weeks ago has basically paralyzed the largest U.S. healthcare payment system, and the impact of that is affecting Idahoans. Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, is joining us today to talk more about this, as well as other public health concerns. And remember, if you have public health questions, you can send them to us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, so Dr. Pate, this cyber attack, as I mentioned, happened 2 weeks ago. It has had really tremendous ripple effects from large hospitals to single doctor practices. So what do we know at this point, you know, in regards to what, you know, what healthcare systems are doing to try to combat this?
Yeah, and I want to be clear, I don't have any inside information. I just know what's been made publicly available. But what it appears is that this was a ransomware attack, which is the kind of, it's a very common type of cybersecurity threat, where particularly through phishing, where they try to get employees to jump on some link that then will install malware. And in this case, there was malware implanted in their system. And then the ransom part of it comes from they notify the person that they've been breached, that they can't access their information, which they probably know at that point, and that they demand some amount of money in order to give them the digital key to unlock the malware and free up their information. And so that's the kind of attack. From what I can tell, they've honed this down to a known cyber terrorist person or group that is connected with Russia. And the FBI has dealt with this individual or group before, but this has been a recurring issue. And unfortunately, this time they were successful with one of the largest providers in the country in terms of providing the kinds of services that you were mentioning, as well as some others like prescription management services. So it's a big deal.
And so, Dr. Pate, I know locally, I mean, for example, I went to pick up a prescription at St. Luke's on Monday. I was able to get the prescription, but, you know, they told me right away, they said, we're unable to bill insurance right now. So you may get a bill saying you owe this, just wait until we can, you know, figure things out and bill your insurance. But I have heard, I mean, some places haven't been able to even fill prescriptions because they can't get people's information in order to fill the prescription.
Yes. So it depends on whether, you know, how what services the provider is getting from this company that got hacked. Is called Change Healthcare, which is a subsidiary of a company called Optum, which is a subsidiary of the largest insurance company in the country, United Health Group. And so if they have all of their systems going through this Change Healthcare for the prescription services, what medications you're on, what's covered, how much is covered, how it gets billed, they're going to be in limbo, because one of the things you have to do when this malware gets implanted in the system, as it did in this case, is you have to disconnect everything. Because if you keep connected, now you run the risk that that virus, that malware, could be extended from Change Healthcare and actually get into providers' networks themselves. So the first step you take, and my understanding is Change Healthcare did this, is to immediately disconnect all of their systems. You want to keep that virus from spreading.
Mm-hmm. And we should note, Dr. Pate, that St. Luke's informed us today that, as I mentioned, they have decided to continue to process prescriptions, and they will bill later. But so what that means for the consumer is this. That means that you may see delayed billing for that copay because it's just going to take longer to process those claims. So, but with that said, of course, Dr. Pate, there are already scammers out there who are posing as hospitals saying that you need to pay up right now. And this has not, at least at this point, we don't believe that this is happening in Idaho, but it's happening in other states, and it will likely come to Idaho. So when it comes to healthcare and billing, what do people need to know? Because this is scary, right? If someone's calling and saying, "We're, you know, you need to pay right now, you're going to be in default," you know, all of those things that they do to try to get someone to believe that this is not a scam.
Yeah, so you're quite right. Unfortunately, there are very bad people out there that take advantage of these kinds of situations. And so what I would recommend to people is, first of all, I commend St. Luke's for continuing these services because they know people are dependent upon it. They're not going, you know, for those that have dealt with St. Luke's or maybe St. Al's or whoever your healthcare provider is, you know how they treat you and how they talk to you and how they treat you and how they contact you and how the bill usually looks. If it's suspicious, and if all of a sudden someone's demanding, you've got to pay us right now, we need your credit card or whatever it is, be very suspicious, because these healthcare providers understand that this has not only been a huge impact for them, but it is for all of their patients. And they're not going to take a harsh stand with their patients, especially when they've never treated you that way before. So if you're not getting your bill through the normal way, whether it's electronic or in the mail or whatever, if it doesn't look the same, if it's coming a different way, then be very suspicious. Don't click on links that you're not familiar with. Check who the sender is. If it's coming in the email, does it look correct? Is all the spelling correct? Is it the same address that has sent you previous bills? Because if it's a different email address, don't trust it. And if you have any questions, just call the hospital or call the pharmacy or whoever it is you deal with to double check. Don't get scammed yourself.
So I want to switch gears now and talk about some public, other public health issues. One being something that we have talked quite a bit about, Dr. Pate, over the last month or so, and this is the measles. There have been measles outbreaks in the UK. We've had them in the United States, but they just seem to be increasing, in particular, a big outbreak that happened in Florida.
Yes, I am getting very concerned. And the reason is that we eliminated measles from the United States back in 2000. That means we had zero cases of measles. And that's because we have highly, highly effective vaccines that will prevent measles for most people for their whole lives. And so these are great vaccines. But what we're seeing is, in the United States and across the globe, we're seeing that the anti-vax and the anti-science and the disinformation groups are very coordinated. And they are spending a lot of money to sow distrust on social media, on certain cable networks and internet shows and all. And they are sowing distrust of vaccines. And I'm very alarmed because now one of the most prominent anti-vaxxers who's actually running for political office is now trying to put out misinformation about the polio vaccines. My God, if we start having more outbreaks of polio, this is going to be just dreadful. And measles is a serious disease. For any of the parents out there thinking, you know, it would be better if my child got the natural infection instead of the vaccine, that it'll be good for their immunity, it'll build up their immunity. It is exactly the opposite. Measles is one of the most peculiar viruses, not only for how contagious it is, but because it, in a lot of people, it will wipe out the memory of immunity that you've already built. So, for example, some of the previous childhood vaccines you've gotten or infections that you're counting on that immunity, measles can wipe that out for a period of time, and you can become very susceptible. And in fact, a lot of kids with measles, and especially adults that get measles, end up in the hospital. You can get pneumonia, you can get inflammation of the brain. And then, as I've talked about before, there's a very rare, thank God, complication that you can think your child has resolved from the measles, and then 3 to 7 years later, they develop a dreadful neurologic condition that is almost always fatal. And it's just not worth it. We have the vaccines. They're safe. We've used them for decades, and we know they're safe. Please don't listen to those that are spreading this disinformation.
So another thing that happened, I believe just last week, Dr. Pate, was these new guidelines when it comes to isolation for COVID. This came from the CDC. This has caused quite a stir. What's going on here, and what should we know?
Yeah, it's causing a stir for a couple of reasons. One is I'm not actually surprised at the new guidance they came out with, which is if you get COVID, as long as your symptoms are improving and you've been without fever for 24 hours and not on fever suppressing medications, then you can return to school or work. Well, I knew it was coming. They had left many hints that that was where they're going, but that is completely antithetical to the science. And so I even outlined all the science on that we have. And part of the problem is that we haven't done studies with the newer variants. So we don't know exactly what happens with those, but we do have studies that we can look at. And in the absence of new information, what we know is, number one, is that symptoms are not a good correlator of when you're infectious. In fact, this was the big thing that was difficult about controlling COVID, was that people are contagious before they develop symptoms, and people can remain infectious for a period of time after their symptoms resolve. And then the other problem is the CDC ties all of this to fever, yet we, in our early studies, when we first looked at this, we knew that only slightly more than 80% of people got fever with COVID. So it's not the best indicator either. Nevertheless, we all saw this coming. Of course, most people aren't following the prior guidance anyway. So I wasn't as worked up about this as I was worked up about what did surprise me, is that they decided, instead of addressing this issue just for COVID, which is what I expected, they decided it is time to lump COVID in with all the other common respiratory viruses. And I think that is a huge mistake. People already think that COVID has evolved to become a mild cold virus, or quote unquote, like the flu. That is absolutely not true. I outline all the reasons why that's not the case. The other misconception people have is that COVID is now seasonal. And certainly if you lump it in with these other viruses, which are seasonal, you would get that impression. But COVID is not seasonal. And I'm afraid it's going to cause people to underestimate the potential health consequences of COVID and to underestimate their risk during the non-typical respiratory virus season. So I think it was yet another example of a miss on science communication by the CDC.
And very quickly, because I'm almost out of time, but I want to get to this as well, Dr. Pate. Do we have any more information on a COVID booster that would possibly be out this spring?
Well, thank you for letting me give one piece of good news, at least. So, yes, we have great news. The committee that examines vaccinations for the CDC made that recommendation. The CDC director approved it. So now, for those folks that are in the higher risk categories, either age, they're old like me, or they have underlying health problems, you're going to be able to get a booster this spring. What we kind of suggest is we know the new version of the COVID updated vaccine will come out this fall. So basically what we would advise is just kind of spread it out. So if you last got your vaccine in, say, September when it came out, then you might look at getting this booster maybe around March. But it's going to be available. That's wonderful news. We got studies that show that vaccine is very effective, and not getting that vaccine actually puts you at a disadvantage. So I do encourage people take up this opportunity we have.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate your time. We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. Remember, if you have any public health questions for Dr. Pate, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thanks, Dr. Pate.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.